For this morning, I'll be continuing our study in the book of Jeremiah. And now in chapter 8, verses 13 to 22, we read of the peace and health that Judah was not enjoying. God had promised it to them if they would follow after him, but clearly they were not. They were not like Psalm 1, verse 1. They were certainly walking contrary to God. They were standing in the counsel of the wicked, and they were certainly sitting apart from him. Peace and health are two desired conditions I think every human being desires within their life. I think you would be hard-pressed to find someone who didn't desire peace in their life, and certainly health, be it physically or mentally, and certainly spiritually. Although peace and health are not intrinsically related, there is a commonality which connects them. Peace is established to those who are surrounded by healthy relations. Those that are you're in relation with, they need to be healthy in order to have peace. Ultimate peace is established when we have a healthy relationship with God. That is where we get that true inner peace, even in the midst of a chaotic world. Health can be measured by the internal peace in one's physical body. Obviously, if your organs and all your parts of your body are working peaceably the way they are designed, then you are a healthy being. I truly believe one's mental and physical health is also related to their relationship with God as well. In fact, it's been proven that those that are very anxious and stressed out, that it can cause physical sickness. And when we are not resting in the Lord, and anxiety can easily creep within the believer's life as well. Now, we are abundantly clear, or aware, I should say, of the fallen world that we are a part of, and the fact that we are not experiencing perfect peace or health, even as Christians, and we will not until the Prince of Peace comes and gives us those glorified bodies which will not decay or corrupt. And then we will have perfect peace and health. But until that day, we have the words of our Lord Jesus to comfort and encourage us. John 14, verse 27, Jesus declared, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, there is health, let it not be afraid." Peace and health are afforded by God to those who trust and love him and follow after him. Now, man in every generation has sought to gain peace and health on their own terms, apart from God. I read recently of an American millionaire who has spent the last few years, spent upwards of $2 million per year on various treatments and drugs and therapeutics of all sorts of things to try and help slow the aging process. And he has claimed that it has actually reversed his aging, saying his skin is better and his organs are functioning better. But really, when I saw a video of him, he looked kind of lifeless, like as if that, you know, that life that you can see in people's, in their eyes and even in their skin, it seemed to be fading. He may have thought he was getting younger, but certainly the opposite was true. And we know that none will escape death other than Enoch or Elijah, of course, we read in the Bible. And if any enters into death not knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there will be no peace for them in eternity either. Peace and health are certainly two conditions which the people of Judah desired during Jeremiah's day, but both escaped them because they openly rebelled against the God who would give it to them. Starting in Jeremiah 8, verse 13 and 14, we read of how their health would deteriorate, having no fruit or potable water to nourish their decaying bodies. And then we will read in verses 16 and 17 of how their peace was taken away when horsemen from the north came invading. And also, even nature itself was rebelling against them as snakes came and brought fatal bites, tormented them. In the end, the people acknowledged that they were in a desperate state, and the fact that they had not yet been delivered. And God revealed to them through Jeremiah that there was a cure. There was a cure out there, and a physician who would administer that cure. But we will read that, sadly, the people did not recover because they did not want the cure. They did not want the physician. Jeremiah 8, and we'll read verses 13 on down to the end of verse 22. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of the horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices, among them, which will not be charmed and shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Judah had not only become a fruitless tree, but she had become a lifeless tree. You know, some trees don't produce fruit every year, and yet they are still alive. Well, this was a totally dead tree. They had no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and not even leaves for shade, no greenery. Remember the fig tree that Jesus cursed in the Gospels? We read in Matthew 21, verse 19, as well as in the other Gospels. And he cursed them, being a symbol of Israel, because they produced no fruit from their religious system. It appeared to be alive because it did have some green leaves, but the religious Jews were not producing fruit. They were zealous, but not for God, not for the things that God desired, a broken heart and service to Him. Outside they appeared healthy, but inwardly they were rotten. Well, Judah exemplifies here in Jeremiah what happens when that fruitless tree persists, and eventually the leaves will wither as well, because the root is rotten. Many of us are familiar with the Christian cartoon series VeggieTales. Maybe some of the younger ones grew up on that. And it was founded by a Christian man named Phil Vischer in the early 90s and under his production company called Big Idea. And over the course of a decade, it produced some very good Christian cartoons for children and also for their parents to hear the gospel, to hear the accounts of the Bible, and hopefully draw them closer to God. And over that course of a decade, it grew and grew and became worth tens of millions of dollars. Outwardly, it appeared healthy because it had started off well. But inwardly, rot had begun, especially later in the early 2000s. And in the early 2000s, Phil, the creator and owner of this production company, was concerned about Big Idea, the core mission of this organization. And so one day he stood up at one of the board meetings and he shared his founding vision, because people come and go on boards, and he wanted to make sure that they were aligned with what the original intent was. And he boldly proclaimed, "I am a Christian, and I believe the Bible exclusively holds the truth about our standing before God and the path to restore our relationship with Him. I want to share that with that truth with our culture. That is, at the end of the day, what Big Idea is about." This is what he declared to his board. And the response that he received from the president of the board, who had been hired by Phil 2 years earlier, shocked him. Because his president said, "If that's what this is about, I need to opt out." That would be quite shocking if you heard that the one that was supposed to be president over this doesn't appear to be a Christian at all. The room went silent, and Phil realized his mistake. Not long after Big Idea went bankrupt and was sold with VeggieTales to Classic Media, and then later on to what we know as DreamWorks Animation. Rot in a ministry and in a person's life will first show up in not producing fruit in one's life. And if it's not reformed, it will no longer have leaves or life and ultimately dies. Judah was dying. They had no fruit, and the water they drank, as we read here, was gall. It was poisonous, which sped up their death. They stood in stark contrast to that which we already read from Psalm 1. And if we continue in Psalm 1, verses 2 to 3, it speaks of the blessed man. In verse 2, the blessed man, "But his delight is the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." That is completely opposite of what was happening to Judah. They were not being blessed by God. And it's sad to read that Judah knew they were dying because of their sin against God, but rather than repent, their response was, "Let's lock ourselves up in our houses and drink this poisonous water and die." They seemed to be content with just simply giving up and dying. And that's really, we see that in our world today. In fact, our society in Canada promotes that to some degree, where the solution offered to many who are in pain and suffering, even mild pain, is suicide, death, rather than to seek life, to seek a right relationship with the author of life. Verse 15 sums up the desperate situation for all those who do not seek the truth and love of God. For we read, "We looked for peace, but no good came, for a time of health, and behold, trouble." Judah's health was failing, and they had shut off their life support, which was from God. Additionally, their outward peace would be taken away by invading Babylonians in the north and by snakes which would slither about their feet looking for someone to bite. The Babylonians would have first entered the country near the city of Dan, which was a city in the far north. Dan was that city in which embraced the false worship of a golden calf set up by Jeroboam in the early days of the divided kingdom. You can read of that in 1 Kings chapter 12. And so it is fitting that Dan was the first one marked out for judgment. But eventually every inch of Israel and Judah would be taken. They would be trodden down, both town and country, without exception, There was nowhere for the people to hide. You know, in our modern day, you hear of doomsday preppers building elaborate bunkers and stocking it full of food and water and ammunition in preparation for the apocalypse. But they may know very little about what the Bible speaks of that. And personally, I think it is smart to have be prepared for potential famine or civil war or even just natural disasters. We read of that in the Bible, even the example of Joseph in Egypt. But the idea that one can escape the tribulation or the judgment of God on their own strength and merit and try and hide away from the God that sees all and has created all, well, that is quite foolish. No, rather, man should repent and seek the Lord's forgiveness now, for then he is granted and guaranteed to escape the wrath to come. Judah not only faced the external enemy from the north, but there was also vipers within. Snakes were sent by God to bite the people, and there was no solution. Not like in the days of Moses, where those fiery serpents were sent, and they looked for anyone that would look upon that brass serpent on the pole would be saved. We read of that in Numbers 21. No, there was no option like that, no solution. Judah was unwilling to acknowledge their sin, to look upon it, to seek forgiveness, and so there was no opportunity to be saved because there was no repentance. Throughout the Bible, snakes are symbolic of spiritual deception through false teachings. We get that in the very first account of man in the garden, with the Satan coming in the form of a snake and deceiving Eve first through false teaching, telling her she can be like God. And in the New Testament, Jesus referred to the false teachers and of the scribes and Pharisees as serpents and vipers. In fact, he uses quite strong language. Matthew 23, verse 33, Jesus said to them, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" That is very strong language from our Lord Jesus. But that just shows the seriousness God has for those who lie and teach falsely. When we are not in the truth of God's word in personal and corporate study, then we certainly are more susceptible to the venom of the snake's bite, false teaching and deception of our current age. False teachings can poison a ministry very quickly. But when we trust in God, he delivers us from such spiritual poison. Just as Paul was physically delivered from the literal snake bite on the island of Malta, so he delivers us spiritually from spiritual deception. Now, to witness the loss of health and peace in the people, Jeremiah was moved to mourning. He is called the lamenting prophet. And he mourned over his people, which was truly a reflection of God's heart. He had a purpose for them, and they had rejected that purpose, and that truly mourns God. Verse 18, "When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me." Jeremiah was seriously grieved, just as Jesus was with Jerusalem in the day in which he was their visitation. Luke 19, verse 41 and 42, record that sorrow he had for Jerusalem. "And when he was come near and beheld the city and wept over it." To think of God weeping over his people because of their disobedience. "Saying, if thou had known even now at least this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes." God truly does sorrow over the loss in Israel, around the world, for we are his creation, and he has made a way for any and all to be saved. God doesn't desire to condemn us, yet because he is perfect and holy, He cannot be in the presence of any blemish, even the smallest, what we consider a small blemish. He cannot be in that presence, which is why man without the holy covering of Jesus is found naked in shame before God. Now in verse 19, Judah cried out, and he was not crying out to God for help, but just simply a plea of hopelessness because of the invading forces. Jeremiah questioned them, "Is not the Lord in Zion? Is their king not still present?" He was reminding them they were hopeless, and they were yelling out uncontrollably. And he was reminding them that the Lord was still in Zion. They still had a king. Up until that very moment, Judah was still a sovereign nation under the guidance of God. But that was going to change very quickly, because Judah had no faith and so had no hope, and so had no future in that land promised to them by God. I think of our younger generation today. How many in our schools today have never been to church, have never heard the gospel, maybe don't even know the name of Jesus, have no faith, have no hope in the future, both temporal in this life and certainly eternally? How many lost today simply throw up their hands in desperation, yell uncontrollably, and continue to drift aimlessly down the gutters of life? And unless God intervenes and they humble themselves before him, are headed for that same destruction. Now, I've read some Bible commentators remark that Jeremiah 8 verse 20 is perhaps one of the saddest verses in the Bible, because it speaks of a people who will not be saved, even though they were given chance after chance, and now they knowingly waited for the end. Verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. This verse paints the picture of missed opportunity. It is symbolic of their spiritual lives. They did not reap during the time of harvest. The summer to plant anew was gone. And so the hope of having food stores for the winter was lost. And so they just waited for the inevitable death of starvation. Missed opportunity, especially on things of importance and necessity, can hollow out one's soul, leaving them bitter and in regret. I'll tell you maybe a lighter story. Years ago, when I was overseas, I took public transportation everywhere I needed to go. And I remember visiting a city where I needed to do some much-needed shopping. And so I took a bus to where I needed to pick up some things, and then took the same bus back. And as I approached the terminal, we are now on the opposite side of a freeway, and I assumed that this bus would loop around because it's not going to make us walk across this freeway. And so I stayed on there, but with some hesitation, with some doubt. And all of a sudden we went to another stop and another stop. And further we got away from the bus terminal. In fact, I'm slow, but eventually I did realize that I had made a mistake. And I was in regret as I sat on this bus for over an hour, making stop after stop, hoping that it would turn around. Well, eventually it came to the last stop, edge of the city. No one else was on the bus but me. And then the bus driver stops, and without even saying anything, because he's not going to say anything to a foreigner, and without even looking at me, he gets off the bus and walks away. And had this been the last bus, I certainly would have been fearful, or at least in even greater regret. Thankfully, it wasn't the last bus. It was still mid-late afternoon. And so I wandered about to find another bus stop, maybe go wait there, see if I can find the bus. So I walked down the road that we came down and sat there for a while. And would you not guess it, but here comes a bus. The same bus driver, the same bus. He had now taken his break. And so we made our journey all the way back, and I did find the bus terminal and stand here today. But that was regret. I had not gotten off at the right place. Judah, like so many people throughout history, watched the opportunity that God presented to them to get off the bus of destruction, to get off at that station of God, the station of salvation. And when man knowingly watches that station pass by and refuses to get off that bus, they have but the bitter ride to the last stop of condemnation. This once again brought great grief to Jeremiah. As he mourned his people, even though they were still physically alive, Jeremiah knew their fate. And so he put on his funeral clothes, as it were, as he saw the spiritual death, that they were spiritually dead. We can all identify with Jeremiah to some extent, having loved ones within our own lives who have not a relationship with God through Jesus. But we also know that the summer of God's church is not yet closed. It is far spent, but it is not yet over. And so we continue to pray that they would be brought to God's salvation before the summer is ended. But we learn from Jeremiah that that generation of Judah missed their opportunity to seek God's salvation. And so there was no recovery, we read in the end. Jeremiah ends with two rhetorical questions, followed by a third question of conviction, and truly supplies the answer. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Gilead was that upper region of Israel on the east side of Jordan, and it was known for rare and precious ointments. But the true balm that they were to be seeking was not physical, but a relationship with God through repentance, through humility, to seek God's salvation, the good news. That is the balm for man, the healing. And the true physician, the doctor, to administer that balm was, of course, the Messiah, Jesus. They were to be looking for salvation in Israel. Judah didn't want that balm, and they didn't want to go to the doctor because they didn't want to be healed of their sin. And I think many in our world today are very content in their sin. And so that is why they did not recover. But for the many who are dying with sin today, there is still a balm, there is still a physician available. Jesus said in Luke 5, verse 31, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." That is the condition of man in his sin. Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And then Jesus followed it up by saying, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so that is the necessary step of repentance to receive this balm that our Lord offers. The self-righteous will continue to seek health and peace on their own terms, but will never achieve it for eternity. They will not recover if they continue to pursue it. Only Jesus, the great physician of man's soul, can bring eternal health and peace, because he heals the sin-sick soul with his blood, and he creates peace between man and God through spiritual rebirth. He does it all for those who call upon him. And so as we await the perfecting of our health and peace, which I'm sure we all do long for, let us enjoy the relative health and peace God affords to us new each and every day as we seek him in obedience. And let me close with Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 2, which speak of that. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life, there is health, and peace shall they add to thee. God longs to bless, but we must be in a right relationship with him first, trusting in him and leaning upon him for all our understanding and all our direction of life. And so may God bring you health and peace within your lives as you seek to glorify him. Let us stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are a loving God, but also a very patient God. Lord, you are very patient with the nation of Judah and Israel. And Lord, although that generation did not seek your forgiveness through repentance, we know that you still have a plan for them, and we see that unveiling even in this day. But for us today, who are part of your church, Lord, may we daily come to you seeking to be in a right relationship, Lord, and seeking to be that tree planted by the waters that would grow and produce fruit that is well-pleasing to you and also a benefit to others, Lord. And for any who do not have that relationship within our lives, Lord, that we would be an encouragement telling them of your good news. And that there is a physician, there is a cure, but it is only one, and that is through your son, Jesus. We know the time is far spent, and the summer is fading, as it were, prophetically, Lord. We may be in the beginning of looking forward to summer physically, but we know spiritually it is far spent. Help us, Lord, in this day to live lives that are honoring to you. And so we pray for your leading and guidance now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.